Audio of book. Frank E. Strange's, Stranger at the Pentagon. First printing 1967. Remark that on this person, Valiant Thor, is now updated into more and new information through Elena Dannon. See link, for more info. June 5, 1968, will go down in history as a day when many were born, successful business deals were signed and sealed. Some may even have lost their shirts on a deal gone sour. It will be remembered as the date of a beautiful wedding, a testimonial dinner, a divorce, an accident and perhaps even a black spot for the family, the loss of a loved one, a father, brother, mother, sister, son or daughter, or a government official. Namely, the death of Robert Kennedy. A case of lack of security, a lack of caution, a disregard of a solemn warning. I cannot give a detailed account of what actually took place that fateful day at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, but suffice it to say that the authorities who were in charge of the investigation know more than what was admitted to the press. Reports have surfaced in recent years regarding the removal of certain pieces of Duran frame in the immediate area. Crucial pieces of evidence have come up missing. But let us go back to that morning. A phone call, an air plane flight to San Diego, California. I was contacted by Val, who instructed me to meet him at the San Diego airport. He ushered me to the parking lot where we got into his car and drove toward the Mexican border. Little did I realize that this particular trip was to be one of many that would increase my understanding of this one called Val Thor and his mission to this planet. During the drive to the border, we discussed a few items of interest. He made it a point to call out the names of various of my closest associates who were involved in helping me to spread the truth in every corner possible. We pulled up to the border crossing, were greeted by their border guards on either side of the car, then proceeded to drive south for many miles to a small town called San Felipe, Sonora, Mexico. Few people were walking the dusty streets. A few American tourists were making their way toward the restaurant that featured seafood. San Felipe is a coastal town, almost surrounded by water. It is a very quiet place to come for a rest, and perhaps some fishing. However, we were not there for any of those reasons. Val parked the car in the parking area directly behind the restaurant. Then we started to climb over a few rocks and found ourselves walking along the beach, out of sight from the restaurant. The small shacks that housed the townspeople could not be seen from where we were walking. We boarded a small boat, started the engine and began our ride. I still did not know where we were going. Next headline, UFO on the water. Then I saw it. An actual, saucer-shaped vehicle was sitting on the water. I noticed a strange phenomena. The waves were gently rocking a powerboat tied to the rough mooring, causing the boat to rise and fall. However, I noticed that their spacecraft did not move. I was to be informed later that the ship was equipped with a pencil fine beam that when fixed on any solid object kept the ship from moving even 1 degree from that fixed position. As we neared the ship, it glistened in the light of the sun that was beautifully setting, rapidly. We sailed close to the craft with the motor cut off. Then an aperture opened, revealing two smiling faces. One man and one woman greeted me by name, took my hand, lifted me into the ship and then reached down for Val. A short time later, the small power craft was also raised aboard and stowed in a compartment where a much larger power craft was also seen. My first impression was one of great exhilaration mingled with joy and excitement. I had read from time to time true accounts that had changed the lives of other UFO researchers and investigators. I have read many books that carefully outline the experiences of those who had experienced actual space contact. But now it was different. It was happening to me. I remembered how my colleagues in their Christian ministry looked with disdain upon anyone who would dare relate incidents about space people, space vehicles and such. But now I found myself caring less what anyone would possibly think of me because of my own experiences. I was there. Next headline, purifying sensation. I was ushered by these wonderful people to a room, where I was requested to completely disrobe. I did so without question. I then walked through a compartment that resembled a shower, only without the water. I felt a purifying sensation all over my body. I no longer required my eye glasses to see. This is another phenomena on board the ship that was quite unscientific. I felt extremely good in body, soul and spirit. After walking through the shower compartment, I was issued a white outfit that resembled what we would call overalls. The fabric was lightweight, just as Val's garment had been when he showed it to me at the Pentagon. However, it was a different fabric than his. Their boots were tight, fitting, while mine were loose. I was then directed toward the door and was accompanied by a lovely woman called Teal to Val's quarters. During my several hours aboard the craft, I was to encounter many wonders that were so scientifically simple that I could hardly believe it. There were a series of buttons on the wall, and Val pushed one of them. Suddenly, one section of the wall became transparent and the scene outside was in full view. This occurrence would happen many times again, even when we would be traveling in one of his small craft. This was quite unnerving at first, because your mind simply does not have any point of reference for this type of experience. It took a long time for me to get used to this. In fact, it still amazes me to such an extent that I don't think I will ever be used to it. Next headline: Kennedy assassination. Val's compartment was quite spacious, comfortable and done in a light-colored decor with a mastiff's green at eye level, making me comfortable. He started to give me an insight into phases of my UFO investigation that I had never explored personally. This information, on such subjects as the Hollow Earth theory, the Black Hole mystery, the Bermuda Triangle, etc., would be revealed in my later writings and audio recordings. He also informed me that Bobby Kennedy and he had met in the Los Angeles area shortly after I delivered Mr. Kennedy's letter to Val. He informed me that his first impression of Mr. Kennedy was that he was a very nervous and suspicious man, but that he was also a man who should not be crossed politically. Val went on to relate just a brief report of his meeting. However, he did point out that he did not believe that Bobby was going to heed his advice. A look of sorrow came over Val's face. I had never seen this expression before. As the evening wore on, we had assembled in a large room where the VSCOPE had tuned into a certain hotel, the Ambassador, in Los Angeles, California. There was much commotion, excitement and confusion in the scene. There were approximately 55 crew present for the viewing. I was made to understand that the same scene was being transmitted throughout the ship for all to see and hear the tragic event that was to occur. Val stated that he had been queried by Mr. Kennedy as to his chances for the presidency, to which Val had replied, "Mr. Kennedy, 4 years from now, you would stand an excellent chance of winning. But I beg you to remain far away from the political race this year." This, he repeated to him several times. Val was very concerned, and so were the members of his immediate staff. Tension grew as we saw Mr. Kennedy walking, pressing through the crowd. Val then said, "God, help him." Suddenly, several shots rang out and it appeared that all hell had cut loose. Val did not move from his seat. Teal jumped up and said, "If only he had listened." Many of his followers, including Rosie Grier, attempted to shield the body of Mr. Kennedy from further abuse, but it was too late. Shots rang out again, and in the confusion, one bullet found its mark. Mr. Kennedy was down on the floor, while many shouted and screamed, and still others began to attack Sirhan Sirhan. Page 72. The investigation that ensued was similar to that of the late President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, and was covered up in like manner. Someday, the entire truth may come out. Val and the group watched with grave concern. Following the removal of Mr. Kennedy from the hotel, the set was turned off in Val's quarters. He looked directly at me and said, "Frank, it is impossible to go through life without maintaining the covering of the protection of Almighty God. We are protected by His divine power, while you, Frank, must depend upon the help and protection of his son, Jesus Christ. You see, Frank, it is not only important but also necessary to your own spiritual well-being to contain this protection every day of your own life. You have an important mission to accomplish on this planet, and you will come against the very powers of Lucifer himself because you pose a direct threat to his kingdom. Practice the presence of Christ and walk in his divine presence. We will do what we can to help you, but you must be the one to make the decisions. If you make a wrong or erroneous decision, learn by that mistake and then go on into the perfection that your Lord Jesus Christ has foreordained for you and others, that will set you apart from and above those who are involved in the works of darkness. Next headline, an alien dinner. With that, we went to an area where several members of the crew were eating and drinking. I was able to enjoy food and drink that did not originate on this planet. The food was of high protein value and the drink, green in color, tasted very similar to papaya. It was very refreshing. Val informed, June 5, 1968, will go down in history as a day when many were born, successful business deals were signed and sealed, some may even have lost their shirts on a deal gone sour. It will be remembered as the date of a beautiful wedding, a testimonial dinner, a divorce, an accident, and perhaps even a black spot for the family, the loss of a loved one, a father, brother, mother, sister, son or daughter, or a governor, namely, the death of Robert Kennedy. A case of lack of security, a lack of caution, a disregard of a solemn warning. I cannot give a detailed account of what actually took place that fateful day at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, but suffice it to say that the authorities who were in charge of the investigation know more than what was admitted to the press. Reports have surfaced in recent years regard immediate area. Crucial pieces of evidence have come up missing. But let us go back to that morning. A phone call, an airplane flight to San Diego, California. I was contacted by Val, who instructed me to meet him at the San Diego airport. He ushered me to the parking lot where we got into his car and drove toward the Mexican border. Little did I realize that this particular trip was to be one of many that would increase my understanding of this one called Valthor and his mission to this planet. During the drive to the border, we discussed a few items of interest. He made it a point to call out the names of various of my closest associates who were involved in helping me to spread the truth in every corner possible. We pulled up to the border crossing, were greeted by their border guards on either side of the car, then proceeded to drive south for many miles to a small town called San Felipe, Sonora, Mexico. Few people were walking the dusty streets. A few American tourists were making their way toward the restaurant that featured seafood. San Felipe is a coastal town, almost surrounded by water. It is a very quiet place to come for a rest, and perhaps some fishing. However, we were not there for any of those reasons. Val parked the car in the parking area directly behind the restaurant. Then we started to climb over a few rocks and found ourselves walking along the beach, out of sight from the restaurant. The small shacks that housed the townspeople could not be seen from where we were walking. We boarded a small boat, started the engine and began our ride. I still did not know where we were going. Next headline, UFO on the water. Then I saw it. An actual, saucer-shaped vehicle was sitting on the water. I noticed a strange phenomena. The waves were gently rocking a powerboat tied to the rough mooring, causing the boat to rise and fall. However, I noticed that their spacecraft did not move. I was to be informed later that the ship was equipped with a pencil fine beam that, when fixed on any solid object, kept the ship from moving even 1 degree from that fixed position. As we neared the ship, it glistened in the light of the sun that was beautifully setting rapidly. We sailed close to the craft with the motor cut off. Then an aperture opened, revealing two smiling faces. One man and one woman greeted me by name, took my hand, lifted me into the ship and then reached down for Val. A short time later, the small power craft was also raised aboard, and stowed in a compartment where a much larger power craft was also seen. My first impression was one of great exhilaration mingled with joy and excitement. I had read from time to time true accounts that had changed the lives of other UFO researchers and investigators. I have read many books that carefully outlined the experiences of those who had experienced actual space contact. But now it was different. It was happening to me. I remembered how my colleagues in their Christian ministry looked with disdain upon anyone who would dare relate incidents about space people, space vehicles and such. But now I found myself caring less what anyone would possibly think of me because of my own experiences. I was there. Next headline, purifying sensation. I was ushered by these wonderful people to a room where I was requested to completely disrobe. I did so without question. I then walked through a compartment that resembled a shower, only without the water. I felt a purifying sensation all over my body. I no longer required my eye glasses to see. This is another phenomena on board the ship that was quite unscientific. I felt extremely good in body, soul and spirit. After walking through the shower compartment, I was issued a white outfit that resembled what we would call overalls. The fabric was lightweight, just as Val's garment had been when he showed it to me at the Pentagon. However, it was a different fabric than his. Their boots were tight, fitting, while mine were loose. I was then directed toward the door and was accompanied by a lovely woman called Teal to Val's quarters. During my several hours aboard the craft, I was to encounter many wonders that were so scientifically simple that I could hardly believe it. There were a series of buttons on the wall and Val pushed one of them. Suddenly one section of the wall became transparent and the scene outside was in full view. This occurrence would happen many times again, even when we would be traveling in one of his small craft. This was quite unnerving at first because your mind simply does not have any point of reference for this type of experience. It took a long time for me to get used to this. In fact, it still amazes me to such an extent that I don't think I will ever be used to it. Next headline, Kennedy assassination. Val's compartment was quite spacious, comfortable and done in a light color decor with a mastiff's green at eye level, making me comfortable. He started to give me an insight into phases of my UFO investigation that I had never explored personally. This information on such subjects as their Hollow Earth theory, the black hole mystery, the Bermuda Triangle, etc., would be revealed in my later writings and audio recordings. He also informed me that Bobby Kennedy and he had met in the Los Angeles area shortly after I delivered Mr. Kennedy's letter to Val. He informed me that his first impression of Mr. Kennedy was that he was a very nervous and suspicious man, but that he was also a man who should not be crossed politically. Val went on to relate just a brief report of his meeting. However, he did point out that he did not believe that Bobby was going to heed his advice. A look of sorrow came over Val's face. I had never seen this expression before. As the evening wore on, we had assembled in a large room where the VSCOPE had tuned into a certain hotel, the Ambassador, in Los Angeles, California. There was much commotion, excitement and confusion in the scene. There were approximately 55 crew present for the viewing. I was made to understand that the same scene was being transmitted throughout the ship for all to see and hear the tragic event that was to occur. Val stated that he had been queried by Mr. Kennedy as to his chances for the presidency, to which Val had replied, "Mr. Kennedy, 4 years from now, you would stand an excellent chance of winning. But I beg you to remain far away from the political race this year." This he repeated to him several times. Val was very concerned and so were the members of his immediate staff. Tension grew as we saw Mr. Kennedy walking, pressing through the crowd. Val then said, "God, help him." Suddenly, several shots rang out and it appeared that all hell had cut loose. Val did not move from his seat. Teal jumped up and said, "If only he had listened." Many of his followers, including Rosie Grier, attempted to shield the body of Mr. Kennedy from further abuse, but it was too late. Shots rang out again, and in the confusion, one bullet found its mark. Mr. Kennedy was down on the floor, while many shouted and screamed, and still others began to attack Sirhan Sirhan. Page 72. The investigation that ensued was similar to that of the late President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, and was covered up in like manner. Someday, the entire truth may come out. Val and the group watched with grave concern. Following the removal of Mr. Kennedy from the hotel, their set was turned off in Val's quarters. He looked directly at me and said, "Frank, it is impossible to go through life without maintaining the covering of the protection of Almighty God. We are protected by His divine power, while you, Frank, must depend upon the help and protection of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Frank, it is not only important but also necessary to your own spiritual well-being to contain this protection every day of your own life. You have an important mission to accomplish on this planet, and you will come against the very powers of Lucifer himself, because you pose a direct threat to his kingdom. Practice the presence of Christ and walk in his divine presence. We will do what we can to help you, but you must be the one to make the decisions. If you make a wrong or erroneous decision, learn by that mistake and then go on into the perfection that your Lord Jesus Christ has foreordained for you and others, that will set you apart from and above those who are involved in the works of darkness." Next headline, an alien dinner. With that, we went to an area where several members of the crew were eating and drinking. I was able to enjoy food and drink that did not originate on this planet. The food was of high protein value, and the drink, green in color, tasted very similar to papaya. It was very refreshing. Val informed, embarrassed to note the obvious absence of toilet tissue. Then it happened. I heard a voice within my mind which I immediately recognized as belonging to Val. He said, "Frank, look to your right. You will find three buttons. Push the first, then the second, and then the third, in that order." I could hear Teal's laugh as I proceeded to press the first button. The sensation was that of a rapid warm wind, similar to a jet of air blowing beneath the seat. The process entirely crystallized the waste matters and caused it to drop from me. Then the second button was another jet blast of a different pressure and temperature. Finally, the third button. This produced a pleasant, fragrant substance that made me feel as though I had been washed, cleaned, powdered and perfumed. As I came out of the bathroom, no one paid any attention to me, although I had a strong feeling that everybody in the room knew what had happened. Suddenly Deal broke the silence by saying, "Well, do you want to take one home with you?" A few of them laughed and went on about their business. After meeting privately with Val, I proceeded to sleep for a few hours, and in the morning, Val drove me back to San Diego, where I again boarded a plane, this time bound for Los Angeles. I pondered the events which had taken place during the past day. My heart skipped a beat as the thrill of the blessings I had been chosen to receive began to register in my mind, and sadness continued to overshadow my soul as I recalled witnessing the life of Robert Kennedy snuffed out in an instant. I now knew without question that the time was here to begin letting the world know that truly we are not alone in the universe, and that God did not confine his acts of creating life as we know it to this, the third planet from the sun. George Stockton took this shot in NJ a very long time ago. Commander Val was an instructor at what we would consider a university level on Venus. Bear in mind that he is one of those beings who was directly created by the hand of Almighty God himself. There are times when one such as Val will elect to attach himself to parents of other children, usually because there is a kinship of thoughts and ideas that together they can perpetuate the glory of Almighty God throughout the universe. Therefore, Val is considered one who was created by the Father, yet not in as high a position as Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came to earth as the very embodiment of the Creator of creators. Val is in a special class by himself. Yet, because of a desire to be a part of a special Venusian family, He has also taken upon himself the pleasure of having a ready-made family, namely, Don, Fun and Doc. These are all fellow members of the Thor family. In the beginning, Val was called Valiant. After attaching himself to the family, he then adopted their name Thor. Next headline: The Land of Quello. Following the creation of the Earth, there was a period of time during which the Creator brought into existence several other creations. One of the most popular was the creation of the land and people of Quello. This was a marvelous creation accompanied by many, many developments that attested to the creativity and imagination of man. But, as the story goes, this awesome power went to their heads and they immediately, with the help of Lucifer, placed themselves in a self-destruct position. They defied all of the perfect laws of God, violated his perfect will as well as the laws governing their own society. Consequently, they were banished from the face of the earth. Almighty God then proceeded to create another man on the surface of this planet. Commander Val bore witness to these amazing events, and volunteered to observe the Earth in order to gain a closer look at what was transpiring there. However, much time passed before Commander Val was permitted to personally visit Earth. He continued to advance and soon became an instructor. Teaching the young people the mysteries of the universe gave him great joy, yet he still longed for something more. When he was a younger man, Val was performing what would be considered to be menial tasks that to him were not too important. He prayed and meditated for many days without ceasing. Although he felt within himself that someday he would be a starship commander, he grew impatient. One day, while walking along the shores of one of the most beautiful bodies of water within the confines of Venus, an amazing yet wonderful event took place that was to change his life forever and fulfill his fondest dream. Next headline: Ring of Fire. Suddenly, without warning, from out of the crystal lake, a finger of fire rose from the waters, thus revealing the hand, and then a full-length arm. It was pointed directly at Val. He remained motionless as the fiery finger touched his lips. He heard what he describes as a majestic voice saying to him, "Valiant, you have been created for a divine purpose. Your lips will speak words of wisdom, understanding and knowledge to people on a faraway planet. Let your heart be filled with the expectation that very soon you will be sent to accomplish the most important task for which you have been prepared." Commander Val told me that he then felt the power of Almighty God not only flooding his soul, but cloaking him with supernatural power that originated from the Father. Within days, he met face to face with Jesus Christ. This took place during a special time of worship and praise that raised the consciousness of the people to a much higher level than ever before. A flame of fire filled the temple and small tongues of fire sat upon everyone in attendance. The Master summoned Val to the platform. A special robe of power and authority was placed around his shoulders. The flame of fire continued to rest upon his head. The Master placed his divine hand upon Val's head and a blessing was pronounced upon him. The power of the Almighty was so great that many witnessing the sight fell to the floor in adoration. Val's mission was completely spelled out to him before many thousands of witnesses. Then Val knew that the task of bringing light to the planet Earth was inevitable. While the Master concluded the ceremony, Val was instructed to remain on the platform. The Master placed his divine arms around Val and charged him with the task that lay before him. Within a brief time, the Master announced a special Ring of Fire ceremony that was to be performed by Val and others before they would set foot on the planet Earth. This ring of fire would protect him and all the others permitted to serve with him. Their mission was under their next headline. Chapter 6: The Airport Attack. Page 85. As a researcher and investigator of unidentified flying objects, I have been swamped with information coming from various parts of the world regarding a phase of UFO research that is avoided by many. That phase involves a certain group called Men in Black. A number of researchers over the years have met with unusual accidents while investigating UFO accounts. Several have even met with untimely death under mysterious circumstances. We cannot afford to ignore the fact that there are forces of darkness surrounding this planet.